All right, let's get started. Father, we are grateful to you. You continually provide for us. You continually love us. You've given your son for us. We can't begin to thank you. And thank you for this time to gather, to worship, to delve into your word, and even to think about practical applications of your word, since we're going to look at this morning. I pray that our time will be well spent.
Well, I think we're just about ready to move on. We've been talking about parenting teenagers. But before we do, I just have a couple of things. After I got home last week and thought about the class, I listened to it again with my wife, the recording of it. There's just a couple of things I wished I had added that I thought might be helpful. So I want to do that real quick, and then we'll just go ahead and move on to our new topic. We're talking about teens and rebellion. Kind of a down subject in a way, and a sad one and a hard one. And that was one of the things that made me think I should have given you all a little bit more of a word of encouragement, because we kind of left it like they become rebels and that's just it and they're stuck and it's horrible. And it's sort of understood, I suppose, that it doesn't have to stay that way. And I just want to tell you that there's hope in that situation, even though it may go on for a while. You know, and it may never be totally back completely right the way you would wish it to be. It can get a whole lot better. And I can say that from experience. I told you that my two oldest kids went through that. And there were some years in there I just thought, this is so hopeless. This is never going to end right. And it really has ended up well with both of them. They both came back to the faith. They both came back to their relationship with us. And I won't say that there aren't some sore spots down in there that can kind of emerge more quickly than you'd like to see because of the past relationship. Those things can spring back kind of quickly on you. And it's a little bit, I don't say like walking on eggshells, but sort of in that category. So, but they're back with us and they're back with the Lord. And it took some time. And I feel like the efforts we made were a part of what helped them. I can take full credit. Obviously, God does that. But So just wanted to give you some hope that you face that situation, which I hope you don't face. As I said last week, there is hope for you. And there was a story that my wife had wished I'd been able, she had passed on to, for me to share. It's kind of along that line. We have some friends that we went to church with for years and years and years, Christian couple, and they raised two boys right around our kids' age. So they're getting up there now. And they went through an ordeal with their oldest son. He got on drugs. Now, by that time he was an adult. And he got on drugs, he got in trouble with the law, he ended up in jail. And so when he was gonna get out of jail, he was wanting to like come back home, and because I think he might even been at home when he was going to college or whatever. And they had this deal. A lot of counselors will advise you, if your kid's on drugs, you know, don't try to just deal with it like, hey, stop that. they advise you to like drug test them, which is not fun to do if you know how to do that, and have them sign a contract that says, you know, if they violate this contract, they're out of the house and stuff. That's tough love stuff. And I didn't get into all that last week because you're not there. So just anyway, they were thinking about going that route, and they just thought, we could never do that. You know, if we let him back in the house and he violates the contract, we're not going to be willing to kick him out. So they just said, we'd rather not bring him back in the first place. You know, just let's not even go there. And so they didn't. And he had to keep going back to court. But every time he went to court, they appeared with him in court. He was an adult, but he didn't have to be there. But they appeared with him in court. And they sent him a lot of communication while he was in jail. The mom especially sent him a little, that you could send him like a little card every so often if they're in jail. And she did that faithfully, words of encouragement and that sort of thing. And when it came time for the final sentencing or whatever, and they stood before the judge, they were sitting there watching kid after kid before them. This judge was throwing the book at them, every one of them. It was terrible. And you know, they were just being put in jail for years and so forth. So their kid came up and he said, I would normally throw the book at a kid like this. He said, because your parents have been involved with you, he said, I have hope for a guy like that. He said, I'm going to go light on you. So, wow. There's a word of encouragement there about involvement. T- tough to, you know, that wasn't easy for those parents to do that. But they loved their kid, and he knew they loved him. And by the way, he's not a believer today, unfortunately. I wish I could tell you that. But he is an upstanding citizen. He got off drugs. He's got a good job. He's got married. He's got kids. He loves his parents. So, I mean, things have, and they're still hoping for him to someday come around to the faith. So he's not dead yet. But anyhow, I just want to give you a little bit of hope after such a down thing last time. I felt real bad about that. I just thought, I don't like to leave people down. You know, and I thought, well, it's a sad subject, but it is. But there's hope. There's always hope. So, okay. I just want to say that. We're ready to roll ahead and move to the topic of relating to your kids as adults. Now, as I put this topic on here, especially as I got ready to actually develop the material, I thought to myself, why in the world am I going to spend a lot of time talking to a bunch of folks that have toddlers about when their kids become adults? That's a long time away. You know, it's one thing to talk about teenagers. That's not as far away. But this is like, you know, for some of you, 20-something years or whatever down the road, or at least 15. Well, let me ask you, can you think of a reason why I might want to do this? I have reasons, but I'll just throw it back at you just for fun.
Because my mom needs to hear it.
Okay, there are some people here who have adults, but your mom's not here, though. That's not helping, is it? Okay, but what about you all? I think there's a reason why you all could benefit from this, the ones of you who have just little kids. Very good, very good. That's my thought on it. It's like, I think I've quoted him before, Stephen Covey in the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. It was real popular back in the 80s or whatever. And one of the seven habits that he felt like all successful people have is that begin with the end in mind. So that's what you want to do here. Or another way I've heard it put, wouldn't it be awful if you climbed all the way to the top of the ladder and realized you put your ladder up against the wrong wall? So it's this idea that if you know where you're going, it can influence what you do today in a positive way. So that's part of the reason for it. And hopefully, I mean, it's a long time from now, but hopefully you'll reflect back and remember some of the things we covered, and maybe it'll be helpful to you. So those are the reasons why I thought it was worthwhile to treat this as a topic. And we're actually going to end up spending 2 weeks on it, and then I think we'll be done with it. So, we talked about the fact that when your kids are very small, you have almost total control over them. But as they get older, they become more independent, and so you have less opportunity and hopefully less need to control them. This is something we talked about when we were talking about teenagers. And we were just showing how when they start off, they're in one category, and as they get older, they migrate to a different category. And, you know, when kids are young, the Bible talks about controlling your kids. So control is not a bad thing. As kids get older, especially in teens and certainly when they're adults, controlling begins to have kind of a negative connotation. It's almost like manipulation or something. You know, you're hopefully moving more into the realm of persuasion. It's not to say you don't, as teens, obviously we talked about, you still discipline, you still have to do certain things, but, you know, you're moving away from that. So that's where we were there. So now we're in new territory. Once your kids become adults, this is not rocket science, but I'm just kind of bringing it to your attention. Everybody knows this before I said it, but just think about it. Once your kids become adults and leave home, you only have as much control and influence as they allow you to have. Right? If they're an adult and they moved out of your house, you can do whatever you want. I mean, They could call the cops on you if you went over their house and tried to, you know, discipline them or something. I mean, they are out from under your control completely. Now, a lot of kids will come back and they'll want their parents to be happy with them, and they will allow them a certain amount of influence and so forth, and that's what you're hoping for. But just at the ground level, your days of control are done. And at this point, discipline's no longer an option. Again, I'm not telling you something you don't know, but I'm just kind of getting us to think about how we've shifted, and hopefully you're already migrating there as they were teens. If you follow what I was telling you about the difference between teens and young kids, you're already moving in this direction. But now that the door is shut, And now you're on territory where they're no longer under your control. They're no longer your job to discipline them. But I quickly say, having said that, this is not to say that you do not have much to offer your adult kids. You do. So it's not like, well, you're done with them. That's it. And they don't need you. You don't need them. And that's all. No. You have much to offer them, as we're going to talk about. But you will only be able to benefit them to the extent that they are willing to receive that benefit, which means they'll have to perceive it as a benefit. Now, I know there's all different kinds of scenarios. I mean, it may be you're not as beneficial as you think you are, and they realize that, so they don't want, they cut you off. But in many cases, you really could benefit them, and they may or may not be able to see that. So you have to help them see that if you want to be able to benefit them. And maybe they already see it. Maybe you have a good relationship. I don't want to assume bad relations here. Hopefully many of us will have good relations by the time our kids become adults and the transition's not that rough. That would be the norm, I hope. That would be the hopeful thing. But I'm just allowing for different scenarios because I've seen them all. So that's something to keep in mind, is that you will have to persuade them completely. And if you do not persuade them, you will get nowhere. They can close, the door can be closed. And I want to emphasize that, you know, the importance, there are so many ways that you can benefit your adult kids. You don't want to cut them off, you know, not that you would, but you don't want to have it happen to where you are cut off inadvertently in spite of your best efforts. That's probably what would happen to somebody in this class when their kids got to that age, possibly, if it went bad that way, which I hope it doesn't. So, yeah, you don't want that to hit you, because there's so many ways you can benefit your kid. Let me just remind you of some. You can be one of the few people who's known them all their life and yet still loves them unconditionally. Not necessarily a unique category. You know, it would be true of their siblings probably, or maybe even an adult friend who's been around for a long time. But still, you are unique in your relationship with your kids. You're the only parents they have. So, and parental-child relations, although I have seen some literally get severed or at least functionally are severed. but typically, even in my relationship with my parents, for example, we had some rough waters that we went through over various time periods. And there were some times I was ready to swear it off, honestly. I got that much at odds with my parents at one point when I was a very young man. But over the years, you know, they just keep coming back. They keep coming back. How many friends do I have that have known me as long as my parents? Zero. Zero. I can't name a single person. I have some really, really good friends. You know, we've known the Snyder for how many years, you know, but not since I've been a kid. You know, they weren't around when I was, as my dad used to say, pooping in my pants. My dad likes to remind me that I did that. and they took care of that. So try to have a little enforced humility there. So this is unique, and you can be a benefit if you love them unconditionally. We're not saying you have no standards, you know that, but there are ways you can love them. You know, you ever heard the saying, you know, only a mother could love a guy like that? You know, or hopefully you could say that about a dad, but you're unique, and your relationship with them, and your desire for them, and you're wanting to see them through. You know, you've invested your life in them, and regardless of how good a job you did, regardless of how much they can see that or not see that, it's still true. Another way you can benefit them, you can be proud of them. Every kid wants his parents to be proud of them. I don't care. The kid who's maddest at his parents, they'll tell you, I don't care if they're proud of me or not. I don't care about them. It's just not true. They're full of themselves. Now, some people are more aware of it, and they feel a stronger pull towards wanting their parents to be proud of them. But what kid doesn't want his mom or dad to be proud of them? Now, you can't be proud of them in areas where they're not, you know, doing well or doing what they should do. But usually your kids are doing things well in at least some areas. Even the worst of kids are doing well in some areas most of the time. And you can be proud of them, and that means a lot to them. I count that as a benefit. You've had longer to accumulate wealth and possessions, and so in many cases you will be in a good position to occasionally give them or loan them things that they need. You know, my youngest son, Josh comes to mind because he lives in town, and he loves to do a lot of things I like to do. Imagine that. He likes to have tools. He likes to do things, and sometimes he'll come by and borrow a tool or something like that. I got a whole outfit. And he's got his own tools, but not like I have. Anybody that's been over my house, you know, I've got like the one of the world's largest tool collections. and that helps him. You know, he likes that. That's a helpful thing. And you know, sometimes he comes over and borrows things so he can help other people. He borrows my trailer to help other people move a lot of times. He doesn't have a trailer. He'd like to have a trailer. He can't afford one. So, and maybe even you could do it financially. You got to be careful in this category a little bit. You don't want to, we're not saying that you want to so underwrite your kids or try to keep your kids dependent on you for everything, you know, like they're always coming to you for money, and that would be an unhealthy thing. I'm just talking about just the occasional appropriate thing where you help them financially, you help them physically. Another thing that comes to mind is, you know, we have furniture we've accumulated over the years because we keep replacing the old ones. I can't stand to throw things out sometimes. You got, you know, storage areas somewhere with furniture in it, and your kids need furniture, you know, when they're getting married or moving into a new place, and sometimes you can pass that along to them. There's just a lot of ways you can. You've just been around longer, so you've had longer to accumulate wisdom. Is another area. So hopefully you can offer them the wisdom that comes with time and age. I mean, assuming you didn't just completely waste your life, you've got a lot of years behind you to have accumulated wisdom and learned things and seen things that they haven't had a chance to do yet. They're just younger. They'll get there, Lord willing, if they live long enough. But they're not there now. They sure could use your insights and wisdom. Even if you're not the smartest person in the world, if you're not the brightest bulb in the drawer, or however they say it, you can still be helpful in some ways. I don't care what it is. You know, like my dad is not interested in many of the things that I have developed in and am good at. He never liked mathematics. He never liked technical things or electronics. So many things, you know. And yet, my dad is helpful to me a lot of times because he just has wisdom in certain areas that he's just been around a while. He's seen some things. And that's worth a lot. That's a big benefit. And this is kind of like the previous point. As your kids encounter new challenges, chances are you've been there, done that, and can give them helpful advice and perspective. Now, granted, they're not exactly in the circumstances you're in. I remember when we were raising our kids and they were younger, and I had a friend of mine who was in the same boat. And this is really sad. He told me one day, and he was one of my good friends, Rick Church, by the way. He said, far as I'm concerned, my parents' advice about raising kids is worthless. I said, why do you say that? He said, because they raise kids in a totally different world than I'm raising kids. And they just don't have a clue what we're dealing with. There's some truth to that, but that was really way oversimplified. I think it was sad that he looked at it that way. I feel that way about my parents at times. They're very old school, and some of the things that were going on in their day that they would like to see continue today just can't happen quite the way they'd like to see it happen. And I'm sure my kids feel the same way about my advice sometimes. But in other ways, sometimes going back to a previous era, a previous way of thinking, brings a helpful perspective, whether you fully agree with it or not. It's still beneficial. So, they've been there, done that. I mean, you know, it just sometimes you really want that. You know, you're in a situation, you're having frustration with one of your kids over some situation, and your mom or dad's like, yeah, we had that same problem with you. You know, well, how did you deal with that? And, well, we did this and this and this, you know. Maybe that's helpful. Maybe it's just comforting, you know, that you're not the only person in the world who's had to experience that kind of a problem. It's really a big benefit. Well, having said all that, I didn't want to make it sound like a one-way street. There are ways your kids can benefit you. A lot of ways. And again, this is a reason to keep the relationship from your side, if you want to think of it in a selfish type sense or what have you. And really, it's good for your kids to have these kind of things. So it's good to have this mutual benefit that only the two of you can have towards each other. For example, you'll recognize this point. your kids can be one of the few people who's known you all their life and still loves you unconditionally. Right? So we talked about us doing that with them. They can do that back to us. Right? I mean, you know, my kids know a lot of things about me. You know, my history, my past, you know, and hopefully I've improved over the years, and hopefully they can see that. They have commented on that. But, you know, there's no hiding the warts from your own kids, right? They know. Just like you know your parents, right? They know all the skeletons are hidden, so to speak. But they can still love you. Even with all that, they can still have a love for you, a care for you. Now, this next point's like the second point on the other one, but a little bit changed up. See if you can figure this one out. They can honor you and appreciate you. Remember I said you can be proud of your kids. They can honor you and appreciate you. Every parent wants to be honored and appreciated by their kids. I imagine, you know, you could want them to be proud of you and I could want you to honor them. But I think the emphasis coming up and going back down toward the kids, if you will, is a little different. And I feel like as adults, as parents, the thing that's really important to us, the thing that really matters to us, not so much our kids are proud of us, but that they honor us, that is, they give us weight, they recognize us as somebody special in their life. That's what it means to honor somebody. And they listen to us. Not that they have to do everything we tell them, but that they give it some weight, that they consider it worthy of hearing and thinking about. And they care about us, that we're worthy of weight in their life to where they would want to help us if we needed it. And they appreciate us. Every parent wants to be honored and appreciated by their kids. That's a benefit you get from your kids, hopefully. Undoubtedly, your kids have acquired skills and abilities that you don't have and can be of great help to you in these areas. And again, I point to my youngest son. Even though he picked up a lot of his skills from me back in the day, he has far exceeded me in many ways. His mechanical abilities are just phenomenal. His technical abilities, I'm a technical guy working technical things all my life, but he's narrowed in a particular approach to technical things, and he far, far exceeds me in those things. And he'll come over and help me set my stereo up, you know. Not that I couldn't do it, but he really helped a lot. Great kid. Continuing, ways kids can benefit you. As you get older, your kids can help you with things you can no longer do for yourself. Now, you're probably not feeling this too much right now. I'm not feeling it too bad, but I'm starting to feel where I'm not able to do as much as I used to be able to do. And, you know, especially if you go through health problems, you have more and more health problems as you get older, typically. And I've gone through some health problems where I couldn't do some really basic things sometimes. And my kids will sometimes come over and help. Sometimes your wife can help, obviously. But, you know, you just get to where you need somebody to come alongside who's younger and healthier and cares for you and can help you out. At some point, you may need your kids to help provide for you physically and or financially. And I have a text of scripture that I can point to on this one. I've sort of excerpted it. We could actually look at, we often think of 1 Timothy 5 in relation to pastor qualifications, which it does starting by verse 17. But first 16 verses of chapter 5, 1 Timothy, talk about the relationship between young and old, and particularly within families. And it says, here's some things it says. And again, I'm not studying the whole passage, just kind of giving you some ideas from out of it. It's worth studying, though. If a widow has children or grandchildren, now remember, this is in a culture where a widow, a woman, would, especially an older woman, would not be in a position to provide for herself. If her husband has died and she's kind of left on her own, she could have some difficulty. Somebody needs to help her. So if a widow, and he says here, now he points out in the passage that the church ought to be willing to come alongside people in that situation, but he said the family ought to be the first one to take care of them. So if you're looking at a person who has needs, check to see if their family doesn't sit and take care of them. He says, and that's what he says here, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents. So he includes grandkids in this. For this is pleasing to God. And this is this next passage, I'm skipping a couple of verses in between. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. You're welcome to go look at it. I just, you know, limited time. But That passage ends up saying, if anyone does not provide for his relative, especially his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And we often use this for a guy that won't get a job and provide for his kids, which I think it applies to. But in the context, actually, it applies to taking care of your parents. How about that, huh? So, at some point, your kids may be your caretaker. At some point, if you live long enough, and your kids live long enough, and your health goes in a certain direction, which typically our health will do, the roles kind of reverse. Your kids end up being your caretaker and the one that takes care of you and comes over and does things for you and maybe even has to have you move in with them. If not just to keep an eye on you, make sure you're okay, or maybe even because you need some help in some of your daily functionality. It can get to that point. So it's just a reminder. I'm not saying, you know, we want to be sure to manipulate our kids into like us so they'll take care of us when they get older. That's not the direction of my thought. It's just I want you to value your kids and realize that sort of the cycle of life, isn't that the expression they use today? What goes around, what comes around, goes around, goes around, comes around, however that expression goes. I'm doing good this morning on these expressions. you get what I'm saying. So, I want to give you a chance to ask questions at this point. We have more material to go into on this. And I almost wanted to go into it this week. I just thought, no, that's really going to be pushing it. So you get to look forward to some more things next week, but let's go ahead and stop here now and just kind of reflect. So here's some things to get your mental juices flowing. How does it make you feel to think about your kids being adults and totally independent from you? I mean, think about your little tykes or your little girls or whatever. How does it make you feel? Someday that little guy or that little girl is going to be totally independent from you. They don't have to give you the time of day if they don't want to. And again, we hope that doesn't come to that, obviously. But I'm telling you, I know parents, not a small number, whose kids have all but divorced them. They moved to California, whatever. Maybe they even call them on the phone once in a while. But, you know, if there's any need or if there's any, there's no relationship there, really. That's sad. So they can do that. But whatever. Hopefully that doesn't end up with your kid. But even just the idea of them being independent from you, that does that kind of shake you up a little bit? Can you think of other ways besides ones that I've mentioned that you as a parent can continue to be a benefit to your adult children? I try to think of some broad areas, name the ones that came to my mind. But I don't think that I've got a monopoly on thinking of good ideas. You all probably have some good ideas. Can you think of otherwise, besides the ones I've mentioned, that your adult son or daughter can continue to be a benefit to you? Maybe that you've seen in your own life, in your own relationship with your parents. You know, in a way, this topic is almost as applicable to you in terms of thinking of your relationship with your own parents as it is in terms of thinking about the future of your kids. You could look at it either way, and that'd be fine. So, those are just some thoughts. What do y'all think? Or if you want to come up with something else or a question on something else or whatever, as you know, that's always open. This is where we play the music. Do, 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 do. We got plenty of time to talk today, so because I the next topic that I'm going to get into here would take too many slides, and I just thought, got to cut it here. So, but that's okay, because I know you got lots to say. Yeah?
We're thinking about our kids being independent from us. It does seem like as they grow older, they do slowly just get independent in every way.
Yeah.
Like Brian would just die without us. I mean,
he's what?
He would just die without us.
Yeah, he would.
And so, as he slowly gets older, he will get the independence to the point of when he's a teenager and he's not totally dependent on us, but we still have to, you know, help him out with things. And that's our last time to have influence on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it is a little bit of a scary thought, but as long as we do our job as the best we can, that's all we can do.
That so. You're exactly right. That's a good perspective you have. Yeah, and that's the reason for bringing these things to mind. You know, keep the big picture in view, because this little guy today, like you say, he'd die without you. You're exactly right. But that's not always going to be that way. You know, that little guy, as my wife used to remind me, they're little people. They're not just kids. They're little people. And they're going to become Big people. Martin, you get over here where I can get closer to you.
This part of it is kind of an interesting topic, because I'm sure there aren't a lot of people that spend a lot of time thinking about some of these, especially our age.
Yeah.
And Alice and I are among the few that never had kids. Been around a lot of them. We've been around, if you flavor the statement right, we've been around a lot of adult kids too.
Sure.
So Alice and I, we just have time. It's part of what we do. We talk about everything. And this concept of what are we going to do as we get older? Alice has brought it up more than once.
Sure.
Now, it's not something we talk about all the time.
Yeah, I understand.
And there are times when, okay, we'll just make a statement. What do you want to talk about? We keep up with each other to such a degree. A lot of times there isn't. So something like this might come up, which, so we do. We talk about it. And we spend time talking about it. You know, there aren't any easy answers.
No.
So the ones with children, they have advantages.
Yeah.
We don't have.
That's true.
So it's worth thinking about.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, and again, that's not, of course, why, at least it wasn't in my mind, when we thought of having kids, I said, good, I want to have some kids take care of me when I get older. But it is something that falls out later. It's like, oh, yeah, hey. that worked out kind of cool, you know. Now, in your situation, you know, you're right, it is tougher and not any easy answers. I think there are some answers. Obviously, you know, the kids are certainly one of the better options, but, you know, there are friends,
sure.
And there's the church family and so forth. So you're not, like, without a help in the world, obviously, and you know
yeah,
that, I know.
Yeah, but they're strangers.
Huh?
But they're strangers.
Yeah.
Nothing like family.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like you're doing, like you've got your dad staying with you. Not that he requires much care, but you're looking after him. And you don't have somebody that's going to do that for you when you get to be his age, you know. And that's I understand that's hard, but at the same time, you know, there are other things. It is. I appreciate you bringing that up from your perspective here, because that's a tough one. It really is. Other thoughts? There you go. Okay, let me get back here where I can get close to you. Sorry.
There. I've been thinking through, pulling from a lot of, feel like my, just thinking about seeing my parents with their parents and siblings and how that those relationships have happened, and then my parents' relationship with me, and you know, and then seeing how that, you know, what's that gonna look like more generation down. My dad is three boys in his family, and that looked very different than my mom. There's three girls.
Yeah.
And how they took care of their parents, and it went, and you know, obviously different health issues, different other stuff going on. But
sure.
Like, oh, here I am sitting now with two boys. I was like, that wouldn't have been my, you know. So seeing how it's going to look differently, also having boys versus having girls.
Yeah.
Girls by nature are going to be more nurturing and feel that need. I mean, you would think typically, I guess.
You're probably right about that.
So that's, you know, that was one of my thoughts in thinking, like, it's, and that relationship's going to be different. Because I talk to my mom almost every day, and I know Jared talks to his dad almost every day, but we don't talk to our other parent almost every day.
Interesting.
And so that, just kind of, you know, thinking about that relationship as well, because it's going to look different.
Yeah.
Based off of whether you're the mom or the dad and what gender your kids are. But I know the first one I'm gonna have a hard time because I already know with my younger brother, like I'm just a problem solver, and I mean he's been married for 9 years and still when things come up I want to help him fix it, and that's I mean I don't. But
yeah, sure.
Like that's my thought. Like I was like I want to make things better for him and I want to help him and I want to. So I know that's gonna be something I'm gonna have to work on every step of the way to let go.
Yeah. I think you're, you know, I go back to the earlier point to begin with, just, you know, I do think there does seem to be a general difference between how girls think about their family, their parents and the care versus boys. But I will say, I mean, like with my mom and dad, they had four kids. They had three boys and one girl. So you would expect the girl would be the real one that kind of looks after them more than anything. But it's really not how it works out. They've been at odds with her much of their life. They're okay with her right now, my sister, their daughter. Their youngest son lives in town with them, kind of like my youngest son lives in town with me, and he's always looking after them. You know, he's still their baby. And I have a very good relationship with them. I don't call them every day, but we call them quite often. And we just pick up right where we left off. We're really good friends. And we love to get together and stuff like that. So, and of course, that wasn't always that way. As I told you, we've had some tough times. So it's interesting how those things play out over time. It's not necessarily always you have a girl or a boy, it goes this way or that way. It just kind of depends. But, and you also, you know, just bring it up, like your relationship with your parents was the other thing I thought was a good idea to bring out. I kind of wondered, as we're discussing this, you're thinking about your kids, because that's how I'm talking to you about it. But does it make you think about your own parents and your own relationship with your own parents? I mean, it does me. I got thinking about not just how things went between me and my kids, but I think about between me and my own parents. So it goes up, it goes down, the family line, so to speak. So if anybody has thoughts on that, you know, does this make you appreciate the unique position your parents are in? We sometimes tend to take our parents for granted. I know I have at times. And look, my parents, they have some things, you know. We all have parents that have those things that just aggravate us or frustrate us or wish would change and so forth, and probably won't. But you got to learn to just love them, appreciate them for the things that are there that you just don't think about sometimes. And sometimes, especially, I know some of you have some really good parents. Much to be loved and appreciated there, and we just don't always do it. My parents, in many ways, I mean, they weren't Christians when they were raising us. By the grace of God, they became Christians through me. Which is kind of different. Usually it flows the other way. But in every other area of life, my parents were phenomenally good parents in terms of preparing me for things and training me in things and not being a rescuer and, you know, all that kind of. I mean, they were very good about making me responsible, and they cared for me and loved me. I knew they did. I knew they did. There was never any way I could have questioned that, though at times I think I tended to overlook it, and I shouldn't have. So. There you go. Any thoughts that you might have on that, too? You could throw that into the mix.
I think the biggest thing, especially that I've learned from Jim's parents versus my parents, not comparing in the sense of one's worse than the other, like in-laws mm-hmm. aspect, it was how our different parents treated us as adults and why, to me, looking at it from an outside perspective, why are some relationships closer than the others?
Mm.
And the only thing I can always come back to is how, like, Tim's mom is with him, this demanding that he do what she wants, when she wants, and treats him as a child. And it gets under my skin because I'm like, don't you treat him like that. You know, show him respect. He is a grown man. And he's sad to say, I've actually had to say that at one point because she started blasting me because she was so upset about an instance where we had made a decision for our family and she just did not like it. And she fought and was trying to use the excuse that, well, he's my son. And yes, he is. And you've done a great job raising him. You should be proud of the man he is. And having to say that to your mother-in-law. And then I think how Tim's not used to my parents and they're not perfect. I mean, there are a lot of stuff under the bridge. But regardless, why was it we looked forward to going to their house? We looked forward and would want to make the effort to go and spend time with them. The only thing I can think of is because my mom and dad just basically said, your marriage on your own, see ya.
Yep.
And it was hands off. You are an adult. Go.
Well, that's
and
great.
Then if we, by letting us go, we then had the freedom to turn around and say, oh, so we choose to spend time with you. And it became this relationship, not of obligation, like, well, you're our child and we invested all this in you. It was, we love you, and if you come back and want to spend time with us, great, because we love you unconditionally, and you are who you are, and that's great. If you want to spend time with us, wonderful. But they never made us feel like we had to.
Sure.
Wasn't it had to. And that, I see how there was a stronger relationship that was being built, a relationship of mutual friendships, of an equality in, yes, there's still honoring, there's still respect. There are elders, and we would go to them and ask them for their wisdom on different issues. We very highly value their input on things. But yet they still understood that we're not going to follow it to the letter. We're taking their advice and listening, but it was still up to us, and they didn't make us feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Anything, no obligations, no strings attached.
Mm.
And that to me, just in my mind, when I think about our boys, especially our boys, Hannah, yes, the whole boy-girl thing will be different. She's a daddy's girl. She's just very loving, and I can see how she's going to want to stay close to home. But our boys, it's like, listen, I pray every day, you marry a girl who just is loving and open, but you will start your own home. Go away.
Yes.
You know, I don't
yes.
want to have any strings or obligations attached to you. I want you to come back, and I look forward to that, and I pray for that. But I also, part of me is accepting now that most likely you're not.
Yeah.
Once you're out the door, you're gone. But my responsibility, my part, is to love you and to give you everything I can now to prepare
yeah.
you for that. But independence is the goal.
It is.
You know,
you're
that,
right.
That's what I want. But yeah, it's just different how the sense of parents who try to cling to the relationship smother the child
yeah.
and don't allow them to become the unique individuals that they're bound to become.
Right.
And then they start to force a relationship there, and that embitters the children, and they don't want to come home. They,
right.
That's it. Basically breaks any relationship potential that's there. But when you let them go and you sit on your hands and close your mouth, and when they make mistakes, you let them make mistakes, and
sure.
when they have joys, you root for them, but you don't interfere. You can't let them come to you, and they will.
Yeah.
They will come back.
Yeah, that's you're almost preaching my next week's section a little bit. That's good, though. That's good. We're going to cover the relationships with the spouses and some of the kind of things you're talking about, the control or not. We've talked about not really ultimately having control, but we're going to talk about from the standpoint of ideally what you do want to do. And you brought up a lot of good things. So you're going to hear some of those ideas come back next time when I go into it. And it is sad. Sometimes, I mean, you can't. You've got the parents that you got, and you can love them to the degree that you can and have a relationship with them to the degree that you can. But sometimes, yeah, you know, sometimes it's hard because your parents aren't willing to do certain things or go to a certain place. I know people in that situation, and especially the spouse is a big part of the dynamic, which, again, I'm going to cover next time. Who your boys marry will have a big impact on their relationship with you. I know... Sandy, bless her heart, she might as well be my parents' daughter. I mean, they just think of her, they think the world of her, and she is so kind to them, and she is so much their advocate. There'll be times I'm like, I don't know, but she said, well, you ought to help your mom and dad. She's always trying to encourage me in that way. And they're not her parents, you know, but she thinks about things that way. And so that's a real blessing to my parents. They said that, you know, she writes them letters. She likes to write hand letters, old school, right? And she types emails, but, you know, she likes to write by hand. She has beautiful handwriting. And she'll write them a letter. My mom and dad say when they see an envelope with her handwriting in the mail, they can't wait to open it and read it together and just rejoice over the letter. Because my wife just has such a unique way of expressing things. You all know her, you know. And sometimes she comes out there with some of the most direct things. It's almost like, oh, my goodness, you know. But she's just so plain-spoken and, I mean, so forthright in what she says and everything, you know. And just her perspective sometimes is just really, it's really precious. My parents love that, so that could be a factor too.
My parents knew some folks that basically were so much friends with their kids that they weren't really parents.
Mm.
And I feel like my parents swung the other way a little bit more to be careful not to do that. And then maybe with so many kids, like as a teenager, you're used to, I mean, they were having... probably 8-year-old Mackenzie when I'm an older teen. So my parents just were used to still spanking and that kind of thing. But I realized when I got married, I didn't even know how to interact with my parents anymore because that authority was gone and shifted.
Yeah.
But there was not this close friendship. Like I didn't call my mom to talk. I only called to ask permission.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do I do now? And so, like, it's been a long process of learning how do you interact with your adult parents. And it's kind of like a dance, and they're sort of the leaders.
Yeah,
right?
Good analogy.
Trying to
I like
figure
that.
Out that whole thing. And so it's hard. So for me, I don't want to be the other swing where I'm going to be just Brian's best friend and then
right.
never have a good influence on him either. So that's just kind of a thought that came to mind.
Mm, that's a good thing to bring up. I like the way you put all that, even the dance part. I thought that was a great analogy. Yeah, that's, and all of us, I think, go through that. Like I said, I have made adjustments, you know, as you can tell from how does this work, you know. And I've really swung wide, you know, to a point, like I said, about even wanting any relationship to now being really the, like, their best friend. But it takes time to learn, even in the best of circumstances. And, you know, I know you have a lot of good things going for you in terms of your family and all that. But I know every family has its challenges, you know. And every family has those things that the kids go, Mom, Dad, I wish you'd learn this, you know. And maybe they will, or maybe they won't, you know. You have to kind of see how it plays out. But so sometimes you learn how to adjust on your end in ways that maybe those things aren't as bad as they could be if you learn to handle them a little differently. Mm-hmm. It's not to make it your fault. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you can learn, well, when they do this, which is a problem, I'm going to do that, whatever that is, whatever this is. And that makes it go better for both of us. So that's just some things to think about there. Well, good discussion. I guess we can end it here unless anybody else has anything. We've still got plenty of time. Okay, Ethan.
I kind of, point two and three are kind of benefits to the parents, benefits to the adult sons or daughters.
Uh-huh.
There's a mutual benefit if the parents and kids are in the same area as far as like child sitting.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. Parents, you know, they love their kids so much, but they need some time away every once in a while, a few hours or an afternoon. And grandparents love the grandkids.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They'll have them for 4 or 5 hours. You know, that's about the max, or maybe something like that. This is a happy meeting.
Sure.
But it's a mutual benefit, and it's kind of a loop of benefits that never ends, because the key to raising good kids is the foundation is the actual marriage.
Yeah.
So the time for the parents to go off without kids can build that relationship so they can better teach their kids. So when they are the grandparents and they can take care of their kids' kids,
yep,
then their kids can get stronger in their relationship, and that just kind of keeps going.
That's true. That's a great observation. I'm surprised I didn't think of that, because we babysit our little grandbaby right now all the time. We look forward to it, just like you're saying. And you know, if you don't live, like my daughter moved away, so it's not that we never saw our kids or never had them over, but it wasn't the same because they're not in town, you know. And that happens. I mean, that's not a blame thing necessarily. Sometimes it's the way life unfolds. My parents wished that I had stayed. You know, I moved away almost shortly after I became an adult, and so they didn't have the connection with my kids that they might could have had.
The old school way of you know, families kind of all staying together, whether it be on the farm or the wherever they all work together. That's where you can see that definitely being beneficial when you have third, fourth generation.
Yeah, that is a blessing if it can happen. And again, sometimes career, and there's other reasons why, there can be legitimate reasons why you can't, you know, like Jared, obviously, at this point isn't able to stay around geographically. So things come up, things happen, and so forth. But yeah, if it can work out to where you can be in the same town, it's a really added blessing, especially the babysitting and just even being around a lot. You know, my son and daughter-in-law would come over every Sunday. Out of the four kids we have, they're the only ones in town. Every Sunday they're over our house, you know, having lunch, and Josh and I go back and work on guy things, and the girls go talk about girl things, and it's just fun. So and we don't get to do that with the other kids. That doesn't mean we love them any less. But, you know, unfortunately, because of different reasons, everybody's where they are, so. Good. I'm glad you brought that up. That was good.
I guess one more thought is.
Yeah.
I try to think about this with my parents. When I was on a drive by myself, I didn't have any wiper fluid, and there was bugs all over my windshield. I was so annoyed. And I thought about, I was just miserable for 10 minutes thinking, I want those bugs gone. When's the next gas station? But my point of that is, I think as a kid looking at your parents, and even your parents looking at the kids, we can get so obsessed with those bugs and say, okay, you're driving, you're making progress, just focus. And so I realized that there's areas that, well, I don't agree about this doctrine with my parents, or I don't like how they do this, or I don't value their opinion in that, instead of, well, put those bugs aside.
Yeah.
What are the things I can appreciate? Kind of like the guy that you're saying was saying forget about needing help with the kids. And so anyway, because we all have bugs. in our lives. And all of us can sit and think of things about our parents that were like, oh my goodness, why did they do that? Or wish they could wipe the bug off themselves. I'm like, come on. Why don't you have common sense to know that that shouldn't be there? But you know, I just feel like even with honoring, this dad felt like he wasn't being honored if you didn't do this. Mm. Where, like, the unconditional honor is overall, we're going forward, not the bug.
Yep.
You know? And so
yep.
That's one thing that's been helpful for me is to, when I view Brian, if I am frustrated, why is he making this decision? Or I've tried to be careful in this or that. It's like, I can't make that affect my love for him, the unconditional love overall, even
uh-huh.
And it's not, anyway, I don't know if that made any sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. Yeah, but you're coming up with great analogies today. The dance thing and now the bugs. I mean, where are you getting those? Maybe you could be a teacher. That's good. And I relate to your perspective many times, and that's one of them, you know, because that's where I get the bugs, you know. I look at, what is it, I always tell people, well, I'm a problem solver. You know, I'm a computer programmer, so that's what I do. I look for problems. Well, thanks, Dad. That's great. That's what we wanted, was a problem solver looking for problems in our life. You know, and vice versa. You know, with my parents, sometimes you know that yeah, you can focus on the things that are problems, which they're there. But yeah, that's good. No, it makes a lot of sense. Great comments, y'all. I appreciate it. I really do. Well, let me wrap us up so we can actually get out of here almost on time today. Father, just thank you for this time, for this good discussion, for this important relationship that we're considering now, thinking about a relationship with our parents, thinking about our relationship with our kids as parents of grown kids. Wonderful thoughts to contemplate and to think about, and we do ask that you would give us your perspective on these things, and that we would be in your word and trying to apply the principles that are there and do things in a very practical way. Even when the scriptures do not specifically directly touch on some of these things, they give us some direction to go in at least. Thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.